Welcome to Timeless Treasures from God's Word, a preaching ministry of the late Reverend Howard E. Tucker, former pastor of the Calvary Presbyterian Church in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, whose radio ministry was heard for many years on KDKA every Sunday night. Voiced by his son Timothy, we hope these messages will inspire and challenge you and bring many to a saving knowledge of Christ as Savior. Now, here's Tim.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our program tonight. It's always a joy to know that you're out there listening and you have a desire to know and study God's Word with us. Well, I'd like to share a message with you tonight entitled Seven Christian Attributes. It's from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, a message that my father gave on the radio some years ago. He was a graduate of Wheaton College and Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can hear other messages that we've done by taking your smartphone or computer, and in the search bar, just type in Timeless Treasures from God's Word. Well, tonight from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, we have our message, Seven Christian Attributes, and because some of you may not have your Bibles in front of you, it may be well for me to read these five verses to you. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice that he begins by saying, the end of all things is at hand. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says that scoffers will ridicule this idea because Christ's coming and God's judgment seems to be delayed. Therefore, he reminds us that 1,000 years to God is but as one day, so only a couple of days are completed. God's long-suffering is because he is not willing that any should perish, and he is giving the unsaved more time to come to him through faith in his Son. Then, too, the fact still remains that we never know how much time we have to live or how soon Christ may return. With this in mind, we consider briefly each of the seven Christian attributes listed in these verses. Number one is sobriety. This includes much more than abstaining from alcoholic beverages, although I believe it does include that too. Much has been made recently of the harmfulness of smoking, and of course the truly wise person does not smoke, it causes cancer. However, our country continues to produce alcoholics or problem drinkers at an alarming rate. It is not smart to smoke or drink because of the health dangers involved. This, of course, true Christians have always said, but naturally in love, in simply presenting the Bible teaching and all these things. Sobriety, however, includes also the serious approach to everything in life. This is not to say that the Christian is supposed to be long-faced, unhappy, or unattractive in his life and testimony. It is to say, though, that the Christian in a spirit of peace and joy is neither deceived by the wiles of the devil in his worldly approach to him, nor caught up and swept along with those who indulge in everything that they falsely suppose will bring satisfaction to them. Be sober. Number two, watchfulness. The Christian of all persons should be aware of what is going on in the world and the need of the world for Christ. Other things being equal, the Christian who knows his Bible has a much more intelligent understanding of the implications and results of world events. The Old Testament picture of the watchman on the walls is very significant today. The blood of others is not on the hands of believers if they sound the warning to unbelievers, but God will hold us believers responsible for the unsaved if we refuse to warn them. The Holy Spirit, of course, must do the saving work, but we must share God's love in the good news and also the warning of the gospel message with the lost. We must also watch to see that nothing hinders our testimony. Number three is prayer. Someone has well said that you can get Christians to do almost anything in the way of service if it does not involve prayer. Our Lord asked his disciples to watch and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they went to sleep instead. There are far too many who follow their example today. Let us follow them instead in the way they followed Christ after his resurrection, most of them dying as martyrs with a prayer on their lips. Number four is love. When he says that love will cover a multitude of sins, he is not speaking of our own sins, but of the sins of others. This is not to say that God wants us to refuse to recognize evil and apostasy, for he so directs us in many passages of his word. What it does mean is that instead of holding up the sins of fellow believers for all to see, ridicule, and condemn, we should help them in every way to let the Holy Spirit remove those sins and indeed cover them with love. Number five is hospitality. This must be placed in historical context to be fully comprehended. The Christian in the Bible days usually had very little and many times was a slave. If he did have much, he usually sacrificed most of it because of his stand for Christ and resulting persecution. Hospitality in those days often meant the difference between life and death. Naturally, when you don't have much and have your own loved ones to think of, you may hesitate to help everyone who comes along in need. So Peter adds the two words, without grudging. Our Lord is most scathing in his remarks about only doing things for others who in turn were in a position to do things for you, rather than doing things for others who never could repay you. Those who listen to us regularly know that we do not preach what is called the social gospel, because that is not biblical, but we certainly do show constantly the social implications of the true gospel message. Wherever the blood of Christ has been preached, social conditions have also been improved. Number six is good stewards. When we realize that actually nothing we have really belongs to us, but has simply been entrusted to us by God for a while, and eventually we will answer to him as to what we have done with our time, talents, and means, then of course it changes our entire conception of what we do with what we have. Verse 10 says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God is his unmerited favor to those who believe in his Son as their Savior. If we were talking tonight to believers only, we probably would have entitled our message Seven Christian Graces rather than Seven Christian Attributes, because actually what our attributes are constitute graces or the results of God's grace in our lives. Money is only one small aspect of good stewardship. Number seven, doing all things to the glory of God. The first part of this verse 11 could be drawn out to include everything one might do for the Lord, so it implies to every believer, regardless of his abilities. The last part of verse 11 very clearly says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Remember, we believers came to God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son alone, through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives and hearts. Now here then we notice that we should do all things to the glory of God the Father through Jesus Christ, who becomes Lord of our lives as we permit him to reign and rule supreme in everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, just as Christ the Son revealed and glorified the Father, so now the Holy Spirit reveals and glorifies Christ in and through us. You do well to say that none of these seven Christian attributes would be possible in your life if you had to produce them under your own power. They are a fruit of the Holy Spirit's filling, which simply means that he who alone knows the will of God is alone able to accomplish the will of God in us unto his glory. That is what God intended for all believers, and not just for a choice few. This is what is possible in the life of everyone who has placed faith in Christ. May it be true of each believer listening tonight. For our unsaved friends, of course, this is not possible until you receive Christ as your Savior. But you can do that right now in a split second and start immediately to experience these seven Christian attributes as well as many others. May God grant it is our earnest hope. If you are a believer in Christ, then praise God for his grace to you and permit the Holy Spirit to so work in your life that these seven Christian attributes, as well as others, may be such a part of you that they will attract others to receive Christ as their Savior too. If you never have received Christ as your personal Savior, why not come to Jesus right now? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world," John 3:16 says, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can't earn your way to heaven, because the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So right now, in this quiet time, would you humbly bow your head before the Lord and say, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I deserve your judgments for my sins. I don't deserve your mercy, but I ask for your mercy and your grace. I right now want to repent of my sins. I want to turn away from my sins, and I want to follow Christ. I believe and trust in him as my personal Savior. I believe he died a cruel death on the cross for me and went through all that pain and agony for me. He took my sins on the cross with him so I would have to bear them no longer. And then he rose again from the dead on the third day to prove that he is the Son of God, to prove that everything he said was true, that if I place my faith and trust in Christ, I will have new life. I will have abundant life that he promised to give in this life, but also eternal life with him forever in heaven. And even more than that, when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior, he gives us his Holy Spirit to live within us, to give us the power to live the lives that he wants us to live. And so right now, before another moment goes by, would you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord? It's a decision that you'll never regret the rest of your life. I'm so happy the Lord saved me many years ago, and that I can live for him and share the good news of Christ with you. Trust Christ right now.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope and pray this message was a blessing to you. You may receive a free written copy by emailing us at tptuck51@gmail.com or by calling 412-337-3858. Our mailing address is Timeless Treasures from God's Word, 147 Crescent Garden Drive, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15235. Please join us next week at this time over this fine radio station, Word FM. Till then, walk with the Lord in the light of His Word.